And really the key is choosing that best next step, because true productivity is doing the right thing at the right time, the right way for you.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman podcast, where we inspire and activate women in their bliss, in their power, in their authenticity, in their creative life force energy. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. Fellow ecstatics, you know, we are in this world where it's like, do more, right? Do more. It's never enough. We're constantly grinding and striving in order to what? In order to what, right? What are we really trying to get at? What are we really trying to create? We've all heard the be here now more. We've all heard to surrender and let go. And our guest here today is going to bring us even more specific insights and tools. And how can we really apply this structure, this belief, this way of living of do less and you will experience more, right? Like, who doesn't want that kind of a life? So let's welcome our beautiful guest, Lisa Zarotny, who is the founder of the Positively Productive System and host of the Positively Living podcast. Lisa is a productivity and accountability coach who helps multi-passionate creatives to do less, live more, and breathe easier. Yay! Yes, yes, yes. Lisa, welcome so much to the show.
Thank you so much, Alara. It is my pleasure to be here. And yeah, doesn't it make you want to actually breathe easier in that moment when you hear those words?
It really does. It's like this, oh my gosh, yes. Like, our bodies crave it, right? Our bodies are like, yes, please do less.
Yeah.
As I was sitting, you know, in the energy before this recording and just connecting to what wants to be brought forward in this episode today, I connected to this vision of Lisa's inner child, who's just such smiles and joy, very, very playful and exuberant. And the question was to ask Lisa, Lisa, have you always had this joyous, positive spirit? Is that always who you've been? And give us a little bit of background with regards to who you are.
Oh my goodness. That's one of those, how much time do you have? But the short answer would be yes. This has always been my tendency to smile and to find the joy in life and to connect with people over what is positive and what is good. And if I may, I think it is so important that we understand that that doesn't mean what I've come to see as a toxic positivity, where we're bypassing the hurt that we feel and we're bypassing the challenges and we're not honoring all that we go through. It's not that at all. It's the finding the good within. The way I've often described it in my own gratitude practice and to those that I coach is the idea that even when you have, oh my goodness, like the deepest struggle, right? The darkest time, when that fire has almost gone out, there's the embers burning or glowing, really. And if you give them the oxygen that they need, breathing easier, right? If you give them, nurture them, and help them with what they need, the fire will grow again. And I think that's how I've always been intuitively. And now I love being able to share that with others.
Yeah, I'm so similar. I've always been naturally positive. And when I heard about like toxic positivity, I was kind of taken aback, because to me, it always has been a natural state of being. And yet I can absolutely understand that. Yeah, we don't want to just pretend that everything is okay. We don't want to, you know, not be in the present moment to what we are actually feeling and experiencing, as well as we can always bring that awareness back to self and breathe into our bodies and invite that release, that like, oh, let go, let go, let go, right? Be available to what is here now. What can I say yes to? What feels right? Now, if you're a productivity coach, how has this come into your life? Have you found yourself in the past overproducing?
Absolutely. And the word that is coming to me that I want to make sure that we connect to today, and I thought about it in terms of positivity, but I also think of it in terms of how I coach productivity, is compassionate, which is so important to ourselves as well. And I had to find compassion for myself after going through, well, actually, I've been through a number of very difficult times, but one in particular that connects deeply to what I do now was a time of overextending, overserving, all from a good place. So let's understand that when we do too much, when we fall into burnout, it oftentimes comes from a desire to give, and that's a beautiful thing. And I'm trying to temper that and to help us understand what our limits are so that we can give fully, but make sure that giving fully is to ourselves. And what happened with me was I was a caregiver for my mom. She had Alzheimer's, and I also had my babies at the time. So I was pregnant twice, and then I had at one point an infant, a toddler, and my mom. And that was serving others in a beautiful way. I wouldn't change it, but it changed me. And it is in a way that I'm so grateful for, but it was so difficult and it was way too much. And what it did was it taught me a lesson about what I thought was important in life. So when I had the opportunity to step back into a more regular routine, to think about what's next, there was a voice inside me that said, don't do what you did before. Don't go for what you think you need to do to add on. You know, we have this tendency whenever something goes wrong or we get a second chance, we want to add, to do, to go. And it's always this, I understand we want to take action, but this voice said, well, the action is actually to process everything you've been through, to clear out, to clear a path. And I did that emotionally, physically. I mean, going through clutter that was sitting around. And I really made a connection with this idea of clutter in our lives. And it brought me through to helping people declutter as a professional organizer. And then understanding that that clutter is deep inside us, in our heads and our hearts. And if we get there first, that's the most productive way we can really start to live fully. And now, present day, the iteration that you see before you of a productivity strategist and accountability coach is one who is still informed by that overwhelm, that trauma, that grief, that, you know, but understanding the decluttering, the releasing, the letting go, and the doing less, it really can bring you more.
Do you remember what you experienced in that state of, like, you had all of those beings that you were giving to, and yeah, as you said, you were overextended? Were there any red flags for you? What was the awareness level that you had, and what were you really experiencing?
To bring it back to the question that you had and what you immediately tapped into of this wonderful, joyous inner child of mine, I did not have that joy. I didn't have the humor. Humor is one of my character strengths. It's one of my greatest values. I enjoy it so much. And I struggled to find the humor. So that was one of the biggest red flags for me. And the way that I might describe it was I didn't feel like myself, right? Something was really missing from that. And I could feel it sometimes where I'd be reactive, which is, again, understandable when you're burned out, when you're exhausted, you're weary. But it wasn't just the weariness where you're like, I'm sleep deprived. It was like my soul was weary. And as a result, I think that the way that that manifested was through me, you know, not having that humor and that joy and that appreciation of the world. I was angry. And I can remember my husband wanting to offer this beautiful idea of gratitude, right? And I was angry with him. And I tell this story a lot in terms of, you know, the growth of my gratitude practice. And at that time, I felt like he was denying my experience of you know, being absolutely exhausted. So yeah, those, I think the red flags, or the main red flag, was not feeling like me.
I love how you talk about the gratitude process, because yeah, in those times where we're overstretched and we're overgiving and we feel exhausted, worn out, it's very common for us to be like grateful. Are you joking? Like, what are you talking about? Right? And I love how you were like feeling that anger or resentment towards him, of kind of like, hey, what's up? Like, how dare you bring in the conversation of gratitude? Can't you see that I am really struggling here? Right? And I think it's so important, because we are like, oh, it's kind of the same thing as like, be positive or be in the now, or, you know, be grateful. And it's not always available to us. And I think that's such a powerful pointer for us when we, is gratitude available to us? You know, do we feel naturally grateful? And if the answer is no, then that's a wonderful place to start as far as like, why don't I feel grateful?
That is such a good question, and such a like an important, well, I mean, we use the term red flag, but yeah, it's like a warning light, right? That if you're not feeling that. So the fact is that if we continue a practice and we honor it in a way that is very gentle and compassionate, and we say, okay, it is very possible to feel devastated and grateful simultaneously. Okay. But to your point, if you're struggling and you're like, yeah, okay, I'm trying here and I got nothing, that's absolutely a warning light to pay attention to, and then to, you know, dig further and say, well, why? Why do I feel so lost and unable to tap into that gratitude so readily?
Yeah, because it really feels like a disconnection with ourself, right?
Yeah.
That feeling of disconnection with the self and putting ourselves everywhere else but here. And that does, that disconnection really does create, well, a lot of energies. But one of those is kind of like resentment and bitterness, which really is not gratitude, right?
Right.
I definitely experienced this as well in my own journey of not feeling grateful, you know, and really questioning, asking myself, why don't I feel grateful? So I just really wanted to call this out, because we never want to just, okay, I should be grateful. Okay, so, you know, here I am. I'm grateful. I'm just so flipping grateful, right? We're like, we're not even in the energy of grateful. Like, right? We're doing another action, right? Going through the motions again of like, check it off my list. Okay, yep. I'm supposed to be grateful. I'm so grateful. Yep. All right. Okay, that's checked off. On to the next thing, right? We're talking here today about doing and about overdoing, and that can... all of these things can just be another thing on our list to do. And it's so important to really ask, if we're not feeling like that availability to that gratitude, if that availability to our positivity, the why, right? And of course, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay that you don't feel grateful, my love, right? It's okay that you feel resentment, that you feel bitterness, that you look at people who are lit up and you're just like, F you, right? Like, that's all okay. And then really getting down to like, what is at the root of this? Yes, I just feel that right now. Lisa, did you have any of that within your process as well?
So to begin with, I felt that, are you kidding me with this gratitude part of it, right? And I love how you talk about that availability. And the question, first of all, I love that you question why, questioners. That's who I am. Those are my people. And so it is a question everything, because the more that we're curious, right, the less we're likely to judge it, and more to figure out, what's the next step we take once we figure that out? Because, for example, one of the reasons, and this happens so many times with my clients, and we talk about burnout in this regard, and sometimes we don't always realize you can be headed toward burnout. It could be a type of burnout. But if, for example, this is, you know, the gratitude is not coming readily to you. And you say, why? And you're like, because I'm so tired. And you're like, ooh, okay, keep going. What's next, right? Okay, where are you tired? You know, and I said before, there was a time when I was physically tired. I was sleep deprived, but I also felt tired in my soul. And it was like, because I'm not receiving right now. Or maybe it is because I need a nap, you know, whatever it is, but we explore that. Those are all real things. Feed me, give me a nap, maybe get me iced coffee. You know, those are all real things, but also feed my soul, allow me to, you know, express myself through music and, you know, offer my love languages, all the things, right? We have needs, not just wants. Wants are beautiful too, but we have needs. And it's like, are your needs truly being met? Those are the things we need to ask ourselves. And to me, that right there, that's connection to productivity, because that's energy management.
I love how you talk about feeding our soul, right? Because to me, this is really about our heart's desires. I always speak to my clients about heart's desire. Like, what do you really deeply desire in your heart to create in your reality? And what I experienced through kind of what we're talking about here is when my children were really young, I got very, very sick. And large part of it was because I wasn't following those desires. So my soul was not being fed. You know, I was a mother of two beautiful children who I loved, but that's not my heart's desires. My heart's desires are different than that. And I have owned that. And I know that that is me. Yes, I'm a mother. I love my mother, being a mother. And there's more that I desire to create. And I got so sick and I was in just this real state of absolute fatigue and exhaustion because my soul was not being fed. So, Lisa, do you feel this connection, right, between productivity and overproducing, overdoing, burnout, exhausting ourselves, and this disconnection to our heart's desires?
Absolutely. In so many different ways. I'm thinking about the fact that we have things languishing on that to-do list, the list that we think is a to-do list, right? That is oftentimes others' to-do lists, right? That came from them. It came from obligations. It came from the, you use this S word earlier, Lara, should, right? As soon as you use that word, please question why. Oh, what does that mean exactly? Where is this coming from? Now, I am not saying that everything on a to-do list and everything that we have to do when we're adulting is always going to be heart's desire. But sometimes it's going to be a driver toward it, because like I do things for my family and, you know, sometimes I'm like, you want to eat food again? Didn't you eat food yesterday? Okay, fine. I will cook for you. But I mean, I don't always, but when I do, it's because I'm in service to them, because it's part of my values to show them love in that way. It's connecting back to not just what you value, but your values, your core values and your core. That is your soul. That is your spirit. That is what makes you you. When you can connect what you need to do back to that, that is when you're productive. The rest of the time we're dealing with to-dos that are, who knows where they came from, but so many times I use the word obligation. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have responsibilities and obligations in that regard, but I think we need to keep questioning, because when we do, there are many times the things that were on the to-do list don't really need to be there. We can take care of the essence of it in a different way that matches us more readily, or we can have someone else take care of it. I mean, there's so many different creative ways to not have that lengthy action-related to-do list that everyone elevates so much, and we can still get what needs to be gotten done, but in a way that's truly us. And even just saying that, like from a productivity standpoint, it's not the productivity maybe you've heard of. It's energy management related productivity that feeds my soul, because I'm like, there's a different and better way.
Yes. What I'm hearing and feeling as you're expressing this is really the difference between doing and productivity, which I think, you know, our society's like, wait, aren't they the same, right? Like doing is productive, but that's not really the essence of it, because we can do until the cows come home and we don't have a sense of like, oh, wow, like so much nourishment to, again, feeding our souls and not just, you know, like you said, like, yes, as well as taking care of our family and the wholeness of who we are as a being, right? Productivity to me feels like that end of the day where it's not about the amount of things that you have, quote unquote, done. It's more the feeling that you have in your being of, wow, I have, quote unquote, accomplished so much, right? Even if that so much was going out for a walk and spending the day just being and exploring and, you know, being in the energy of curiosity and playfulness. Like it, to me, and you can tell me your perspective on this, Lisa, it feels very much like the essence of how we feel versus how much we have done.
Yeah, and I think that connects to something deep within us that we absolutely need to tap into and need to nourish. And here's why. Because when you think about this idea of taking action and to-dos, and conceptually that sounds very important. Yes, we do need to act upon the things that need doing. But the more that we say, oh, well, here are all the to-dos and I have to get them done. And when I didn't get them done, what does that mean for me? We start connecting our identity and our worthiness to it. I see so many times people who connect their worth to what they've gotten done. And I'm using the air quotes because that needs to be used right now. And well, what happens if something else other than you stopped you from doing those things? Does that also equate to you not being as worthy because you didn't do those things? No, but it's how we're made to feel in a society that values the doing part. So it's I think, disconnecting from that idea that our worthiness and our value as people is connected to the actions. And like you said, more to the satisfaction of the process of having tried our best, of, you know, stepping out into the world and shining our light as brilliantly as we were able to that day. And yes, putting your head right on the pillow and saying, okay, I've done what I could and I await tomorrow to try again.
And the joy of the process. I think that's a lot of times what this doing really gets us out of. For me, that's what it was. It was always an end goal, right? Like, well, when I'll get there, then something is going to happen. It's really magical. It's going to be great. And then I'd get there and be like, okay, well, no, the next thing, when I get there, it's going to be really great. And when I just learned to really be in my body and take pleasure in the moment and the creative process is how I word it, wow, it was like all of this is so enjoyable. It doesn't actually need to get anywhere. I'm enjoying all of it. You know, like creating this podcast has been, I have worked very hard. I've been doing a lot of doing, actually, but all of it has been so nurturing and enriching to my being, where I know very well that if I would have tried to do this 4 years ago, it would not have felt that way, regardless if I would have had the same amount of things that I would have accomplished in a given day. It's more of my availability to the joy, right? And I get this image again of this inner child of you, right? And she's just smiling and she's beaming and she's just enjoying the process.
Absolutely. And something that you pointed out in there for your own journey that's so important for us to understand, it's a big part of what I coach, is to understand, you know, not only our bandwidth, but the seasons in our life. And when you talk about our availability, there really is a lot of like aspects to that. Sometimes it really is, like, in a very literal sense, our availability to do something that we might desire and understanding when the best timing is to do that. And that's a big part of productivity too. So that's selection, that's prioritization, that's seasonality. All of these things go into making our best choices, and we can still achieve amazing things, but we can do it at a pace and at a flow that is so satisfying.
Yes. I always have like a basket of laundry sitting there, and I'm like, you know what? It's going to get done. Like it always does. And sure enough, in my process of always just, okay, these are the things I need to get done. Like I'll just call them in. I just call them in and they land per they're supposed to. Mind you, there's always a basket of laundry, but I get through one basket of laundry and then sure enough, another freaking basket of laundry arrives. I don't know. There's some like laundry portal of never ending laundry. But the point being is it always gets done. And when I'm available to it, to the fluidity of what feels right in this moment, I love how you say this, what is the timing, right? Because sometimes we're very, very creative and we want to express creatively. Other times we're more withdrawn, which is a great time to do laundry. Other times we have a lot of energy and sometimes we have very little energy. And so when we're able to flow and move through our being, it's like it all gets to feel good, even doing the laundry.
Yeah, you're leaning into those moments, that energy. I work a lot with clients to think about, you know, when we talk about seasonality, either the for women, their cycles, for, you know, the seasons of the year is very obvious, but there are so many different ways. And then what you're talking about, using laundry is the perfect example. There is a portal. I feel like we need to close that sucker, but and we all have the laundry waiting on us. But it's that there's acceptance in there of saying, you know what, that's there, and it's okay. And also, it can wait because that is not a priority right now. This, what I'm doing, is. When we do that, or when we say that something can wait a particular period of time, some of the recommendations that I make in terms of this to-do list that's out of control is to say, what can you delay, but intentionally? And here's what's so important. When we have something languishing, when it's sitting around and it's constantly sort of like yelling at us, right? And saying, you're not doing this. And therefore, what does that mean for you? That you are not enough, that you're not getting things done, that you're not achieving your whatever it is. It's all of that negativity at us. Whereas if we intentionally say, no, wait your turn. Now is not the time for you. What a difference that feels, right? It's not only control, but it's acceptance and a calmness of saying, I will get to you. Now is not the time. And everything, you know, just allows you to move forward and do something that you have been describing so beautifully. Be fully present. How powerful that is.
I love how you say that, because it is very much about acknowledging, yes, there is a load of laundry there. And, you know, it does need to get done. Otherwise, as we know, that portal doesn't close and more laundry will just pile up. So it's not like a dismissal. You're not like, I'm not going to look at the laundry and maybe another portal will open up and just, you know, take it away.
Fingers
You're
crossed.
Acknowledging it, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's such a profound point, because it's always about acknowledging, okay, it's there. I will get to you. I love how you said that, Lisa. I hope the audience really heard that. Like, acknowledge it. Okay, I have a load of laundry to do right now, and that's not my priority. I will get to it when it's available. Mm-hmm. I love that. And you gave us a couple of pointers there, but Lisa, what specifically can you help if somebody is listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, I am this person, you know, I'm driving myself into the ground, I'm overexerting, I'm not feeling gratitude. What can you tell them to start this process of, yeah, just moving into from doing to productivity?
So the first step is always to get whatever it is out of your head and someplace safe. Okay. And that's, you know, we call it mind sweeping or brain dumping or whatever you want to call it, because right now, a big part of the frenetic energy that you may be feeling is all of that emotion that goes with it, because your brain is constantly processing what you're not getting done. And that's the frustration. So first, everything out of the brain and onto the paper, that's the best if you can do that. But if you have to sit there with a, you know, your phone and do it in the car, it doesn't matter. So get that out first. But I need you to know, and I want you to lean in close to this because it's so important. That is not your to-do list. That is your to-choose list. It's in a safe space. You got it out of your brain. Now keep it there. That's where we process from there. So step one is that. And then step two, and these are the only two steps I want you to think about today, is of all of that, what can you truly let go? What doesn't belong here right now? Because we get so caught up in what has to be done and everything has to be a priority right now. If it's all a priority, then nothing's a priority. And that's not what we want. So be ruthless for you, for the sake of what you do, for the sake of being truly productive. Look and tell me. I know you're probably thinking of something right this minute. Let it go. You don't need my permission, but you have it if you want it. That's what I would say to start with.
Again, I just love it because I teach a similar thing. Like, you know, our minds are part of our superpower, quite frankly. And so it's not about, you know, okay, you know, shutting the mind off or trying to, like, let's turn the music up really loudly, right? So we don't hear the voice. It's about, like, hey, mind, thank you. Like, you're always trying to serve me. Like, oh, okay, mind. I always say, thank you, mind. All right. Like, yes, mind. I hear you. Jotting it down, right? Or voice memoing it, or just even saying, okay, yes. You're saying laundry. All right. You're saying this. Acknowledging. I really love how you're bringing that forth, Lisa. And then, yeah, it's a to choose list, right? Not a to do list. And giving yourself that permission, right? Giving ourselves permission. What right now? Because it's so overwhelming sometimes. If we really think about, if I think about all the things that I could do, it's overwhelming to think about it in this big picture. But if I just say, okay, what's available right now? What's that one step I can take right now? What feels good right now? Oh, that's that, like, breathe easier energy.
Because it is one step at a time. And really the key is choosing that best next step. Because true productivity is doing the right thing at the right time, the right way for you.
Do you have a recommendation on that as far as how do you recommend that people choose what is best for them right now or the best next action step?
It's a big part of what I work on, but in knowing yourself, sometimes it's a choice between, do you have to push through for whatever it is you know you need to do next, or do you need the energy to do it? So I think that's a choice that you need to make, because sometimes we need the nap, or we need the snack, or we need the break first to prime our productivity. Then the next thing, just from a practical standpoint, but I absolutely love it, is the idea of the 80-20 principle, and the idea that you can get 80% of your results, 80% of the way there toward your goal, toward what you're trying to do, with 20% of the effort. So that makes you look more carefully. Think about your closet, and that you, for I would say 80% of what you wear is probably only about 20% of your closet. If you think about that leveraging opportunity there, you can really cut out a lot that you might be thinking of that needs doing and figure out what the next best steps are. Or even more simply put, there's a book called The One Thing, and his idea is, what's the one thing I can do that makes everything else either easier or possibly even moot? So that's how you make the next choice. Once you're sure that you have the energy to do the thing, then it's about choosing the thing that's going to make everything else easier. Case in point today, I decluttered because I knew that was going to make packing for a trip this weekend easier. It was going to make everything else that I needed to do easier. So I chose that.
Those are beautiful examples. And sometimes it's not a logical path, right? Sometimes going out in nature will actually give us more energy or give us just the clarity that we need to then sit down and do the task, right? Yeah. That we're really feeling called to do, but maybe we're just like, I just can't quite get there. I'm feeling kind of like overwhelmed with screen or overwhelmed with information. And we think sometimes, well, I'll just push through it. But sometimes if we just step away, right, and do something completely irrelevant, oh, all of a sudden we're like, oh, well, that's, I'm totally available to it now.
I just did a podcast episode about that, the power of the pause and how pausing can make you more productive. And there's a Stanford University, study that was done on like our creative thinking and how taking a walk out in nature can actually connect to our creative process. So 100%, yes, it's not always the obvious thing to you because you're like, I need to do the thing. So that's what you want to focus on. Sometimes it's about priming the productivity in a different way by decluttering, by taking a walk, by taking a break, by, I'm going to mention having a snack again so we know where my priorities are. You know, whatever it is that you need to feed you literally, figuratively, spiritually, whatever it is, that will make a difference when you come back and then step into action.
Perfect. Yes. Power of the pause. And I love how you're emphasizing, you know, having a snack, because I think it's sometimes we don't even realize that our blood sugar is getting low and we are, you know, our brain needs fuel. Like literally our brain needs fuel. And sometimes it's only like a couple of bites, like a little couple of nuts or something like that. Just kind of like, oh, now all of a sudden, again, that next kind of wave of energy. So yeah, the fact that you keep repeating that, I'm going to emphasize it as well.
Either that or hydrating. That's another big one for me. But it's true. Yes. It's true. We need to take care of ourselves. And I think that's why I repeat it so much, because it's easy to overlook what we truly need when we're focused on what we're wanting to do.
Absolutely. Wonderful, Lisa. So how can people find you? How can they connect with you?
You can always go to my website to find all the different places to locate me, and that's at positivelyproductive.com. Of course, you're listening to an amazing podcast here, so I'd be honored if you'd hop on over to mine, Positively Living, or if you just want to have some fun with me and see that inner child coming to life every day on a reel, a ridiculous, silly reel on Instagram, I'm at positively_Lisa. I'd love for you to come over and play with me there and say hi. I answer all of my messages.
Yay to ridiculousness. Yay to silliness. Yay to playfulness.
Fun.
That is one thing that really can, you know, talk about taking a pause. You know, I invite the audience, if you're like needing that pause, maybe hop over to Lisa's Instagram and just receive her positivity, you know, receive that energy, just kind of like let yourself kind of bathe in it, soak in it. That always, those kinds of energies are so inspiring and absolutely fuel us forward. So yes, yes, yes. Okay, it is time for our activation. So I always say, you know, if you're driving, you can always keep your eyes open during this. You can still receive the energies and you can come back to the recording and repeat this if you feel really drawn to do this. Also, there's nothing that you need to feel during any point of this. Trust, my love, trust in you, trust in your innate intelligence and wisdom. Just be as present as you can with the process, knowing that the energies are always working, okay? All right, so we're going to close our eyes if you can, and we're going to just breathe into our bodies. And as you're inhaling, feeling that breath come into your body, and exhaling, you're letting go right now. You're just letting go. Breathing in, calling in for relaxation of the body. Exhaling, letting go, letting your body relax, letting your neck relax and your shoulders relax. Letting yourself soften. Just softening, softening with your breath, allowing yourself to breathe easier in this moment. There's nothing right now you need to be doing. Just breathe easier. Letting that breath feel easy. Letting that breath just simply flow in and out, in and out, in and out. as you're softening the body and relaxing and letting go. Now we're going to take it a little bit deeper as you're inhaling. I invite you to just sigh, let it go. Sigh, telling your mind, telling your psyche, let it go. Whew. Breathe easier, body. Whew. Let it go. Breathe easier, mind. Let it go. When we exhale, when we sigh, we're literally telling ourselves to relax, telling ourselves to relax, telling ourselves that we are safe here now in this moment, safe here now in your body, safe here and now, and whatever you are feeling, experiencing, safe, 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 safe here now. So take another nice deep breath. Safe, you are safe, you are safe, okay? We're going to draw our awareness all the way down to the root chakra located at your perineum. And you're breathing down into that root chakra as we're accessing the information of your root chakra that says that you are not worthy. Says that you are not worthy. Any and all information in your root chakra that says that you are not worthy, that you have to do in order to be of value. You're bringing awareness, love, light to this space. So just knowing again that whatever you're feeling right now is perfect. Continue to breathe, okay? Continue to feel safe. Continue to listen to my voice. Continue to soften. Softening as we open, softening as we open these energies that are not true, my love. These energies that are not true, this untruth that you are unworthy, this untruth that you have to do to be of value, this untruth, we are softening and opening into these energies. Yes, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Keep breathing. I'm going to start to activate the space with sound, remembering that whatever you feel is perfect. I want you to continue to focus on breathing and on feeling safe here now, feeling safe. Worthy, worthy, worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Breathing all the way down to your perineum, all the way down into your body. Breathing in your worthiness, breathing in the remembrance that you are worthy. You are worthy no matter what you do. You are worthy no matter what you don't do. You are worthy of your successes. You are worthy of your failures. You are worthy, my love. You are worthy, innately worthy. Breathing it in, breathing in the remembrance, activating your worthiness, activating the remembrance of your worthiness here, now, here, now. Breathe really powerfully into your body. Stay active. Breathe. Use your breath. Breathe. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Nice deep breaths. Yes, yes, yes. Expanding into your worthiness. Breathing in and expanding into your worthiness. Expanding into your worthiness here now, my love. You are expanding right here, right now, into your worthiness. Right here, right now, you're expanding into your worthiness. Your worthiness. You are worthy now. You are worthy now, here and forever. You are worthy now, here and forever. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Saying yes to your being. Yes. Yes, yes to worthiness. Yes, yes to creating yourself through this worthiness. Yes, yes, yes to experiencing your worth. Whew. Okay, just softening back in, feeling your body. Everything that we called in is complete. Everything that we called in is complete. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Your worthiness is complete. By the perfection of three, the divine trinity, it is done. Aho. Going ahead and opening your eyes. Reorienting yourself, if your eyes were closed, to the room, into the space, and feeling your worth, my love, no matter what you're feeling, acknowledging here now your worth. No matter what you're feeling, acknowledging that here now. I see you. I see you in your worth. I see you in your worth. I see you in your worth. Lisa sees you in your worth. We see you in your worth, my love. Lisa, my love, you joyous spirit. Joyous, joyous spirit of light, of love, and of humor. Thank you. First and foremost, for everything that you do, for your openness, for your heart, for your joy, for bringing this to the world. And thank you for being here with me today, having some laughs, having some giggles, bringing in some insight and wisdom. I greatly appreciate you.
I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for opening your space to me and for allowing me to be part of this and that worthiness. Oh, it is a beautiful thing, and what a gift for all of us. Thank you. Yes.
And listeners, reach out to Lisa. Check in. Tap into her joy. Tap in to her joy. Tap into that image that I got of her inner child, of how she allows that through. Connect with her. Reach out to her. Connect with her podcast. And definitely share this episode, right? How many people do you know are in that state of doing, are caught in that state of doing, and maybe just need to hear this? Maybe this is the one thing that will really land for them. You know, and sometimes just sharing is one of the best ways that we can give to each other. Be sure to rate and review and subscribe. And as always, I will see you next time here on the Ecstatic Woman. Much love.
thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.